Coming up next on The Breakup Vent.
Not enough. But anyway, when I was 11, he was cheating with my best friend's mom.
Oh my
gosh. And I found out first, and then my mom found out and all that. And I remember him going, "I don't know why you're so upset. It's not like she's the only one." Right away, he was like, "Just so you know, I don't want to play games. Like, I like you. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. I'd like to see where this goes." And okay. I was like, I loved that. Mm-hmm. And he also, like, had, like, this, like, thing with, like, older white women.
Oh, okay.
Not sexually. He just kind of idolized them, and he would get attached to one for a long time.
Is this a black guy?
Yes.
Do you only date black?
I have dated white guys. I don't want to do it again.
Everybody, welcome to The Breakup Vent, the number one breakup podcast in the world. I am your host, Mahogany, and I have a fantastic host. No, wait, I am the host.
You are the host.
I have a fantastic guest today, Anastasia.
Hi, hello.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
You said yeah.
Yeah, I am. Really? I don't think I'm scared.
No? Okay, good.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we ain't never scared.
Unless it hasn't settled yet.
What happened?
Like, maybe the fear hasn't settled in my body yet. No, I'm just kidding. I think
so.
It's fine.
You know, you want to know something? I've had maybe one or two people, when it's all done, they're just like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's valid. Mm-hmm. You know,
you're talking very
about
valid.
You're talking about a lot of feelings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'll feel that way, but.
Okay.
We'll see.
So here we always start out with your relationship with relationships growing up. So growing up, were your parents married?
Until I was
You hesitated. You're like,
My parents were married until a year before my dad died.
Okay.
But they were not living together. They broke up when I was 11.
Okay.
But they talked every day, and my mom will still say she's widowed and that she, that was the love of her life.
Oh.
So, it's complicated, I guess, would say.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were ish together, but then my dad had a thing for other women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you say he was kind of a womanizer?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For
oh,
sure.
Wow.
I heard statements that I never, I think that's why I am the way I am, because of some of the stuff I heard my dad say about women. I was just like,
ooh.
Yeah. Like, I remember him once saying, the affair that kind of ended them or broke them up a little bit. Not enough. But anyway, when I was 11, he was cheating with my best friend's mom.
Oh, my gosh.
And I found out first, and then my mom found out and all that. And I remember him going, "I don't know why you're so upset. It's not like she's the only one."
Oh, so he had many women.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he was like, "We could be a family." And I was like, just hearing that stuff just really, like, was like, oh, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So at that age, you knew it was very wrong.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I have older sisters, so I've also been, like, watching their relationships. They were, like, 13 and 12 years old when I was born.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I watched them go through men as well. And
wow.
I feel like that is the way I got my philosophy or my standards or my baggage about relationships was definitely just watching all these different relationships as I was growing up, pretty young, having to handle, like, knowing relationship dynamics, you know? Yeah.
Wow. And so you said that your mom found out about the breakup when you were about, or the affair when you were 11.
Yes.
And that's also around the time he passed away.
No. He passed away years later.
Oh, years later.
Years later. I was about 26.
Okay, and they were still married.
Yeah.
Okay.
For like a few months before, then he got, it gets complicated, you guys.
Okay.
He divorced my mom,
and
he got married to this woman that totally.
Oh, okay, so they were not married.
Mm-mm.
Okay, got it.
Totally Anne Boleyned him, and then he died on his honeymoon.
So he was sick during the marriage.
No, he drowned, so he didn't was not sick.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was complicated.
Did you have a good relationship with him outside of knowing his philandering ways?
No, I mean, we were always very, like, conflicting. I like I like to be cheery and positive and like have fun. My dad was a very serious guy. He went through a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, he's from the South Side of Chicago.
Okay.
He, you know, was the first to graduate from college and mm-hmm. have a, you know, he fought hard for a lot of things. He married a white woman when it was legal in 11 states, you know, like there was a lot of stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
but he was a very like bitter man. And I didn't love that. So, and he also kind of demanded like a level of black excellence of us.
Mm-hmm.
While at the same time kind of trying to deny our heritage, which our mom would not stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's like, these are black children, and so there was like a lot of conflicting ideations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like he would do things like every Saturday morning make us run the stadium steps and then play basketball with his like Chicago guys and go to the barber shop with him and then write a report about 60 Minutes. Like that was just like his way of like making us better.
Yeah.
But it was hard. Like, I didn't want to do that on a Saturday.
Right, of course not.
Yeah, and some of the stuff that I consider, I'm much more of a creative, right? I love dance, so I took dance like 2 or 3 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and that was not considered a sport, so I had to take a sport.
Oh.
You know, just stuff like that. So we had some conflicting things.
Mm-hmm.
I found my way of dealing with him through comedy, I think. You know, like, he was a spanker. Listen. I'm fine. Spanking is fine.
Spanking is fine?
I don't think it's fine.
Okay.
I don't think I would do it, but I don't think that I
was severely damaged from it?
No, I don't think I was severely damaged from it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, like, it was, like, abnormal. Like, it was not, like, abusive at the time kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Got you.
That's what I'm going to say. But, mm-hmm. But, like, he would do things like, he'd be like, go get the belt. And I would hide for hours. I'd be like, just so you know, don't tell me to go get something of my own doom. Good luck finding me, dude.
Mm-hmm,
I'm going to convince you through jokes to, like, not spank me. And it was just, like, I found a way to deal with him. Like, you know, he would come into a room and he'd be like, you have a pimple. Your shoes are dirty. Are you going to do something? And then I would just honk his nose and I would say, you have to say one positive thing before you move on. And then you could say all the negative. Just give me one. Just
mm-hmm.
give me one. And usually he would just crack a smile and like lighten up.
Aww.
But yeah, like, you know, it was difficult. And mm-hmm. Out of all of my sisters, I was the one that was most combative with him.
Mm-hmm.
My mom could almost like count like she's going to come right back in and scream, I hate him, as soon as like they we had father and daughter at that time.
Aww.
But I probably had the toughest conversations with him, and I probably resolved the most with him out of my sisters. I mean, I can't exactly speak for them, but I definitely told him how I felt about his certain actions. We had tough talks. We screamed at each other. We yelled at each other. We cried with each other. I heard, like, you know, some very deep things about his fears and his, like, you know, anxiety about death and, like, all this stuff like that. So, like, I don't think my sisters had that relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
which is maybe just, you know, blessing or it could be, like, you know, a negative thing, but I don't have any unresolved
mm-hmm.
things that I didn't say.
Right.
And I think that I know he was like a complicated man and how hard it is to be a black man in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also really hard to be a woman of color supporting black men.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I learned mm-hmm. that I love doing that. I love being there for the black men in my community. But I also have learned over the years that that because I like doing that and because I feel like it's part of my, you know, like feelings as a woman, I also need to like take care of myself and know how
mm-hmm.
much that takes a toll on me.
Yeah. I'm
yeah.
like self-care is way more
self-care,
important.
But, you know, we haven't always been good at that. We have to grow
yeah,
into it.
Yeah, it's easier
We're
said
still
than done.
Kind of getting there.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. So with you having this resolve, did y'all ever discuss the cheating or your feelings about it?
Oh, yeah. From like 11 years old, I remember I would put on, what was it? Oh, my God.
Oh.
Which soundtrack was it? Waiting to Exhale?
Oh, really?
Do you remember that?
Oh.
I'm not gonna cry.
Oh, yes.
I'm
oh, Mary J. Blige. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out Mary J. Blige.
That was Waiting to Exhale, right?
That was Waiting to Exhale. Yes.
Maybe. Anyway, so whatever it is, yes. Mary J. Blige and that song, I would be like in the car with him. Mm-hmm. He'd pick me up and be like, you know, the day that we're supposed to spend together or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I would blast that song.
Yeah. Did he love it?
Oh, no.
I'm surprised he let you do it.
We're not
listening to that.
Yeah, he would try.
I don't need you talking about my way. I don't need you trying to call me out.
But I did.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I think that I'm always, that's my personality. I'm blunt mm-hmm. and loving. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a weird thing for most people, but I'm not always going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I'm always going to like be accountable for how blunt I am too, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I love hard too, but yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Like, good, you should not. You should.
I hate lying, and I think it's
I'm just not into it.
Such a break, like it's such a like my family is like not liars, but they tend to like gloss over things or try mm-hmm. to make it like nice and blah blah blah, and I'm like, just tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't like lies. I can't deal with lies. Yeah. Lies are hard.
Lies suck. They hurt people sometimes.
They do.
And so I tend to, you know, I always tell people, I'm like, that's my finest quality. I don't mind just owning up. Like, if I'm wrong, I was like, if I'm wrong, that's, I'm like, you know what? I was wrong. Fine. I was wrong and I need to be better.
And, yeah. And
but
why,
some people can't do that.
It's why shouldn't we do that? Like, why shouldn't we, like, I mean, nobody's going to be perfect. I do have, like, very reactory emotions. I'm an emotional person. Mm-hmm. I do regret sometimes what I say. Through therapy, I'm working on that.
Good for you.
To be like more emotionally agile, to take moments and mm-hmm. just be like, okay, we don't need to say that yet. Let's just like process it. But even if I get there, mm-hmm. I'm one of the few people that you can go, that really hurt me. And I will talk to you and I will try to change my ways. Like, I'm not inaccessible, right. You know, mm-hmm. like, and I know when I'm wrong and I'm gonna like, fess up to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in that exact moment. It might take me 5 minutes.
Give me some time.
It might take me like a scream and then I'm out and I'm mm-hmm. like, wow, I really messed that up. Like, why did I say that?
I but mean, it happens to the best of us.
It does. Yeah. But, you know, I will say like, I will take accountability mm-hmm. and I probably beat myself up about it a little bit more than I should. But that's
fine.
That's a thing.
So you said your dad remarried. Did your mom remarry or no? Mm-hmm.
No, that's her love.
Did she date?
A little bit.
Or
there
was
a few people that she dated. Mm-hmm. Nobody really of any.
Nobody that stuck.
No. Mm-hmm. And like she considers him, my dad, the love of her life. She met him when she was 14.
How old was he?
Not 14. 20.
Oh,
or something like that.
Yeah. He was in his 20s.
Yeah, early 20s, though.
I don't know if that makes it better.
Oh, it doesn't.
And like, I mean, even if he was 20, 21, I'm like, a 20 or 21-year-old with a 14-year-old is, you're supposed to be in college.
Yeah. And he was-ish. But, but to be totally honest, like, that was one of the dynamics that was interesting that I heard, like, very big truths from my parents about. It was, like, my dad... said something to my mom, like, I thought I got you young enough that you would, like, I could, that you would be the woman I wanted you to be. Ooh. Kind of thing, you know?
Oh, my God. Like, he could mm-hmm. basically manipulator.
Right. And my mom,
a child.
You know, she is a force of nature. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I do not know how he thought that that was ever going to work. And that was one of the biggest problems they had was mm-hmm. if you have a woman that's going to stand up to all this stuff that she had to stand up to be with you during that time, she's not a calm woman. She's a woman that, I mean, at 14, she was living on her own, dancing at night at the Whiskey A Go-Go, mm-hmm. dating a black man and mm-hmm. going to school, paying mm-hmm. all her bills by herself. Like, this is not a woman that is moldable. This is a woman that takes charge and is independent. But she loved that man. And she did do a lot of, like, very old-fashioned things that I like. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to take care of my man.
Okay.
You know? But I also like my life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's important.
Wow. So, with that being said, in the relationship dynamic that your parents had, how do you think that molded the way you approach relationships and you view relationships in general?
I mean, so many ways. I'm definitely demisexual. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't mess around. Maybe it's Catholic guilt or whatever it is. Recovering Catholic guilt, I'll say.
Okay.
But also, it just doesn't feel comfortable for me. I don't try to be a guarded individual. I think I'm very, like, open and nice and sweet. But there is something that is, like, very intimate to me about sexuality. Mm-hmm. I love sex. Mm-hmm. But I have to be very trust, like, I have to be in a trusting situation. Mm-hmm. And then I'm a freak, like, for monogamy. Like, I'm, like, I am the girl that will be doing all kinds of crazy shit with her man. But mm-hmm. I won't, it's not casual to me.
Yeah.
It can't be casual to mm-hmm. me. I've tried mm-hmm. it to be casual for me. It's just not.
Yeah.
And I would be lying to myself and lying to another partner that it would be. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to either one of us.
Right.
So I just, casual sex is not my thing. Mm-hmm. I wish it was. I'm very sex positive. I love it for everyone else that can do it mm-hmm. and feels good. If you feel good about it, go. Mm-hmm. Do it. I support it. But to me, I don't feel good about it, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Good.
So that's kind of a thing. I'm very mm-hmm. selective. I'm a very big monogamous person. I definitely do love to take care of people. I'm a big caregiver. So I will cook for my man. Like, that is, like, mm-hmm. sexy to me is, like, yeah, he comes home. I've rolled him a joint. I've made him dinner. Mm-hmm. And, like, we just.
You like to do the whole cooking, cleaning, everything, all of it?
I don't necessarily like to clean.
Okay.
But like, I will do it.
Do you take it there?
No. I like to cook. Okay. I like, you know, like, I love to make my man comfortable. I was big on, like, massages mm-hmm. and, like, you know, like, my ex, my most recent ex was, like, he's a comedian like me, so he was on the road a lot, so I'd make him care packages before I dropped him off at LAX.
Aww.
Stuff like that. You know, like, I like to care for people, whether it's my man or not.
Yeah.
But especially if it's my man.
Of course.
Like, I want them to be sexually fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of maybe even more, I kind of want them to be overly fulfilled.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess in those ways, most people would think that's a traditional thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's less traditional as I get older. I think it is just like a caregiving nature in me because mm-hmm. it's not just for a man. I would do the same thing for my friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would do the same thing for strangers sometimes, you know?
Like, yeah, of course.
So it's just in me. I don't think mm-hmm. it's necessarily like I'm Stepford wife because mm-hmm. I don't want to be that. I would never give up my career or anything like that. I don't even know if I'd get married at this point.
Right.
Which used to be a huge thing, or even have kids. Like, I don't know. It's not off the table, but it's not exactly taking up space mm-hmm. either mm-hmm. on the table.
Okay. So speaking of dropping off your most recent ex at yeah. LAX, let's get into that.
Yeah.
How long ago was that relationship?
2 years ago.
Oh, it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
So you've been single for 2 years.
Ish, yeah.
Ish. All right. Okay.
We've explored. We have not had, like, a serious thing.
When you say we have explored, you and your ex have explored.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
We as you or the third person.
Yeah.
And, okay,
yeah.
You
yeah.
got other people. Yeah. Head, just making
yeah.
sure. Just
yes. yeah. Okay, I mean, sure. I'm not like a frigid bitch.
No. I don't.
But I am. I haven't been in a serious relationship in 2 years yet.
Okay. And so, who broke it off? Was it you or was it him?
We went back and forth a lot. So mm-hmm. I would break up with him. He would break up with me. Like, one time I remember I literally broke up with him on the phone and he texted me mm-hmm. backstage and was like, I think we should break up. And I was like, that's funny because I already broke up with you.
Wait.
Did you just mansplain a breakup to me? Because
so you broke up with him that day?
I literally was on the phone with him and I was like, I break up, you know, like, you know, we're over. And then he texted me like a couple minutes later. Was like, he's like, I don't think we should be together. I think we should break up. And I was like, cool, because I already broke up with you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
you can't break up with me because I'm breaking up with you.
I was like, how dare you mansplain what I just said to you?
Right. Like, exactly. Okay. So the very recent last, you know, straw that thing. Broke the camel's back, was that you?
No, it was actually him.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Wow. And how long were you together before?
Like, off and on for, like, a little over 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Off and on for 2 years. And when did the breakup, get back together start? How long into the relationship did y'all start this dance?
Like a year and some change.
Okay. So yeah. A year in, y'all are like, okay, no, yes, no, yes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of factors changed. Mm-hmm. We had a huge age gap. Mm-hmm. So I think that caught up with us. And I think his career goals were very different from my career goals. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a road comic. That's not the life I want. Mm-hmm. Like, I love stand-up. I love performing. Mm-hmm. I love comedy. I want to be an actor. I'm an actor. Mm-hmm. That's what I do for a living. I want to be on screen. I want to be in TV. Like, that's where I feel the most at home, and that's where I've done the road thing. I don't love it.
Right.
I don't think it's financially great.
Yes.
And I don't think it's emotionally great. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the life I want. So when he started going out on the road, even though I was going on the road some of the time too, it did start like becoming very clear that we had very different ideas about success and how to get that success. Mm-hmm. And I've been acting and in this industry since I was 2.
Oh, wow. In Chicago?
No, in LA.
Oh, okay. So you, yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So I was born and raised here. My parents met here, but my dad's from Chicago and my mom's from New Orleans.
Got it.
But yeah, I have my ideas about stability and what I want for my career. And I've seen so many careers and different stages. Yeah. And I just know what I want. Mm-hmm. And I also can see train wrecks coming.
Ooh.
And I want to protect the people I love. Mm-hmm. And if you tell me your dream is this, then I want to help you achieve that dream.
Okay.
And if you're veering off from that and really like almost like sabotaging yourself, it's hard for me to watch that. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to go, that's a great idea.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. So what is the age gap between you and this person?
Almost 10 years.
Oh, 10 years. Okay. And whenever you say there was a train wreck, you could see it was him, I'm guessing. Was it him or you?
It was a train wreck. It was him. The thing is, like, I always knew my goals, right? I always know exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. I may not be, like, where I am exactly, but I've always been on the track, right? And I've always gone for it. And I see it manifesting itself more and more now that I even like am just more in my own body and more in my own and just like less distracted by stupid shit that I said yes to for no reason. Mm-hmm. That's not in this realm, right? Yep. So if you tell me you want to be in a Marvel movie and you're on the road,
where Marvel's not out there.
It's not there. Yeah. If you're not home for auditions and to be in that play or be in that short film, it's just not realistic, you know, and I could see some sabotagey stuff. Like, you know, one goal was like to be in a DC movie. I'm the right person to be like into that with, because like it's not my dream. I don't want it, but I do know a lot of people in DC. Like I know a lot of comic book people, and so one of the big things that I wanted to do for him was I took him to Comic-Con and I took him to these fancy parties and I invited him and I introduced him to these people that could actually make this happen or have really good advice.
Yes,
and like, and you can invest in these relationships and they would last. They're good people that want to see, especially Black people. Mm-hmm. Move up in these industries. Mm-hmm. And so I made those happen for him and I could see him sabotaging them.
Wow.
And that was hard. Mm-hmm. And it was also embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a few times, like I remember I was at this one Comic-Con party and talking to Kevin Smith and some other people that are all like DC, like very high up in DC's universe.
Okay.
And I was like talking him up about my boyfriend, my love, my partner, blah, 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 blah.
He's like, and he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Okay.
So then they were like, where is he? Because I assume he's right next to me because we walked up together. He had sat down on the floor.
Oh.
And put on his earphones and was watching my wife and kids.
So he didn't want to be there.
And then later on, like a couple minutes later, I kind of went over there because, you know, I was like, he goes, I want to go home.
I was going to say, did you know that he didn't want to go to this thing?
The thing is, our careers, the only way we get stuff done are at events like that.
Oh, I see.
You know
what
I mean?
Like, no, yeah. Listen, I know.
It's sure, the casting room is great. How are you going to get in the casting room?
Yes, yes.
The more they know you, the better.
It just sounds like you wanted it for him more than he wanted it for him, is what it sounds like.
It did feel that way. Yeah. And it felt pretty embarrassing. They're like, your partner's sitting on the floor. And I'm like, you know, and when I would say something like that to him, you know, maybe I wasn't the most happy at the time. So I would say stuff that I would be like, how can you sit on the floor and do this? Like, it looks bad on me. It looks bad on you. And I wasn't the most supportive of like why he's doing that. And like, you know, but to me, I don't understand having your earphones on all the time. And that was a big thing in our relationship. Like, we went on a road trip and he was listening to like stuff on his earphones. And I was like, it's like a road trip. We should like listen to the radio together, or, you know, like listen to comedy, or just like, you know, talk, you know. And I do know that like people need their like time.
Yes.
You know, and some people need more than others, but some places are just not it. And then if I complained about that, that would be a big thing, you know. It'd be a big
a fight?
Yeah, it'd be a big deal, yeah.
Wow. How did you meet this person? I'm curious.
Stand up.
So y'all were both doing the ha ha ha, and then y'all cross paths on the stage, and it's just like, oh.
Yeah. Actually, my mom was there.
Really? So he met your mom?
He did. Wow. And my mom was like, I'm going to the car. I was like, why? She goes, I don't know. She knew, like, then that I was, like, struck.
Oh, really? So you've seen him. Who approached who?
He approached me, and because I don't approach.
Oh, look at you. You don't chase.
I don't. I do not.
Look at you. Don't chase, girl.
So he approached me a couple times, like right, like before the thing and then after the stand-up show, and to the point where my mom was like, yeah, I'm going to go in the car and just take your time.
Yeah. And well, how was it? Was it, you know, a great opener for you? Was it like, hey, sexy mama, your comedy
stuff?
No. So
like, it was like more talking about career stuff and everything like that. I think he actually asked me if I knew any agents or something like that. But then he also asked me for my number. Mm-hmm. And then the second, like, texting, that became clear that he was like, just so you know, I don't want to play games. Like, I like you. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. I'd like to see where this goes. And okay. I was like, I loved that.
Yes.
And then we had like a FaceTime, like kind of date where he like sang to me and played music. And I was done. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like into him so much. And then we had a date. And it was great. He like picked me up, which is great to me, you know, and took me to a restaurant in the Valley because I live in the Valley.
I'm the Valley. I'm a Valley girl. Okay, listen.
So it was very cool, you know. He paid, but it was clear that it was like
he was being tougher. Intentional.
Yeah, but it was also like clear that it was tough. So we shared something, and I was fine with that. Okay. You know, like I appreciated the gesture, but I knew that it wasn't. It was a bigger purchase for him,
right?
You know?
Okay.
And then we ended up going to a coffee shop after the restaurant and talking for a long time, and then drove back to my house, and he gave me a kiss goodnight.
Oh, and that was
yeah,
that
was good. The
first date.
Yeah.
That was great. Oh, yeah. And then somewhere along within this year period, it got awry.
Well, I think there was
he didn't have his headphones on in that day. No. So he knows he should not be wearing them.
No,
is what it sounds
no.
Like.
And I don't think it's like all one person, right? Like, I definitely did stuff and became a person that I didn't like. And so, like, I couldn't put that all on him because I love him.
Do you go ahead.
And I would never, like, blame him for everything because he's not to blame for everything.
Okay.
I think it's sad that two good people that have real love for each other couldn't make it work. And that's really sad to me.
It is.
Yeah.
Did you see something long-term with him?
Oh, for sure. Like, our families met. I mean, not our families met. Like, I met his family. He met my family. Like, we were very involved. You know, I was there for important events. He was there for important events. You know, we had Christmases where he bought nieces and nephews. Oh. It was very, like, we weren't. Yeah.
Serious. And so you didn't want it, or Uma wasn't in the relationship. Did you from that? Like, did it was something you see that motivated or?
Yeah, I don't think I'll say that.
Okay,
it's not a. was frustrated. Came. I'm not a nag. It's not. I became a nag because I would and they want or talk, nag at somebody. It's I hate it. I found myself nagging, and that's not me. And I was annoying myself. So I guess, you know, attack on their masculinity. And in some ways, I felt like probably reacted. Okay.
Did y'all have this conversation? I feel like, and you need to stop. And there was just no resolve from that.
Well, his resolve for a lot of things was I have to go do it on my own. I have to, we have to separate. I have to get my shit together and I have to come back. And to me, that doesn't really work. I'm not a break girl. I'm a, like, if you need a moment, go get a moment and then let's fight the shit together.
Right.
To me, that is like so important. And so the fact that you want to walk out, even for a brief time, freaks me out. And it just doesn't actually work for me. Like, it makes me extremely paranoid. And so every time that happened, I was not a good person. I was crying. I was desperate. I would call a million times, you know, like, which my therapist is like, you know, this kind of is like, you're beating yourself up about it. And I was like, but this is like behavior that I see in other people that I detest and is not in the most like raw part of who I am, me. But when I'm like re-traumatized, and whether or not that's fair, you know, or not, that kind of stuff re-traumatizes me and puts me in a bad place. And makes me desperate. I'm not a desperate girl. Like, right. I can be on my own and I'm fine. And so for me to be desperate, God, it felt horrible.
Yeah.
And it's not good. It's not good for anybody. And I don't even know how you react to desperation, like healthy. So that was not fair to him. But I also don't think it was fair to be like, when I'm upfront, like, this traumatizes me. It's like a boundary to put that as the thing that you use every time we have trouble is rough. And so knowing my boundary, it felt game playing.
Okay. So you felt manipulated whenever he'd be like, let's take a break?
Yeah, because if I tell you day one, I'm not a break girl. And then when shit hits the fan, you go, let's take a break. And I tell you, when people take breaks on me, I don't do well. Right. I am not in a good mental space. I do not do good.
With breaks.
I don't.
Can we get into you from day one telling someone that you don't do good with breaks and being re-traumatized by breaks? Where did the trauma come from?
Definitely. Do you think? Oh, so much abandonment. Yeah. I mean, my dad left our house when I was 11. Okay. My parents talked every day. He didn't talk to me every day. And he went to live with my best friend's mom and finished raising my best friend and her brother.
Okay, so
that's a lot.
It is a lot. So in the process, I have to take this in because I'm realizing that your dad is taking care of your best friend. Are you still best friends with his best friend?
We are cordial. We don't talk a lot, but I'm open to always hear. I mean,
she was kind of like your stepsister in a way.
Yeah, but we weren't, like, when that happened, it severed us in so many ways.
Like, okay, that's what I meant.
Yeah, they became very uncomfortable with us more than we were. Like, I remember inviting, we have this huge Easter picnic every year, and I remember inviting them every year or their our huge Christmas party, and they just always made it so weird and made it feel like it was. And at a certain point, my mom was like, I'm inviting you guys to my house, or I'm inviting you guys to my family because this is the way our family is now. But they felt so uncomfortable they didn't do it. And so then, therefore, my dad wouldn't most of the time do it as well.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like it might have been shame on their part, to be honest, because I would be.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to let it go.
Right.
And, like, if you're molding families together, then you've got to, like, just do it.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Do you want to see your family? Do you want to see your family? Then we got to make it work. Like, if my mom, who was completely devastated by this, could sit across from you, you can sit across from her.
Right. I should have been more clear because I was like, at the time, whenever your dad left, were you and her still?
No. I mean, like, after that happened, yeah, no, we were not cool for years. And then, I mean, we're Facebook friends and, like, Insta friends now. And, like, we check in on each other. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, like, when my dad passed, it was a horrible, horrible, complicated mess. Mm-hmm. And I owe a lot to actually her mom and her for the memories and stuff that they saved for me from this witch that he married. So.
Oh, wow. So he left your best friend's mom and then moved on to the witch. Is that how that order?
Yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
26, 27.
Okay, yeah, because it happened very quick in that, like, 1 year
period. Yeah.
Wow. And she didn't, any of your sisters, you or your two sisters, she was not a fan of, or y'all were not a fan of her?
We tried.
Okay.
Like, I remember one of my sisters was pregnant at the time. We were like, come to the shower, that we're family now, like, and I remember talking to her on the phone, and she was like, I don't think you understand how uncomfortable this would be. And I was like, you're marrying into a family. It's not it's uncomfortable, but my mom, me, everyone is reaching out to you and saying, we want to make you comfortable. We want to merge these families. We want your presence. So no. And she's like, when you're older, you'll understand. I'm like, no, I won't, because I'm not that woman.
Mm-hmm. Right. And your dad just did whatever she told him to?
Yeah, he didn't end up coming to the baby shower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's how.
Because she was uncomfortable.
Wow.
Seeing my mom.
And I'm guessing that this plays into your abandonment.
Oh, like, 100%. Yeah, and it's not even the only abandonment I experience in life. You know, like, whether or not it's, like, fair or not, the way I felt, but when my sisters were so much older than me, they started leaving the house. That's scary. Yes. And that was sad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was young, you know, and of course they had the right to their life, but it tore me apart.
Yeah.
You know, and then I also was a kid actor, so I wasn't on a TV show. I was in a lot of movies. That means I got to know people for months.
Yeah.
Loved them, worked with them, and then didn't see them. And maybe ever.
Away. Oh.
I mean, this is before, like, we had, like, so many modes of communication too. So I had a lot of abandonment, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm honest about that, you know,
So yeah. No breaks.
I didn't do breaks.
And he knew that you didn't do breaks, but he wanted to do breaks.
Yeah.
And so with that, I feel like probably came the comeback, go away, come back.
Yeah.
Go away, come back.
Yeah. And also I initially also, right off the bat, told him that I had a relationship in college where he would break up with me every single time something serious happened. And then he would come back. So, like, the first time he broke up with me, my uncle, who was like stepped in at my when my dad failed as a dad for a while.
Yeah.
He died. I was crying too much for him, so he broke up with me. And then, like, a few weeks later, he came back. You know, and then I got real sick. He left me when I was in the hospital, and then he came back after I was out of the hospital. Like, it just, like, it was like all this stuff. And so I said, like, I'm not okay with this. I don't feel healthy with this.
Yes.
And I feel abandoned. I feel manipulated. I feel all these things.
Yeah.
And whether or not that's fair or whatever, it's the way I feel about this kind of resolution.
Yes.
It doesn't work for me. That's a communication that doesn't work for me, and that's a love language that doesn't work for me.
Right. And you don't feel safe, I'm assuming, whenever
something like that. I'm a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
And I'm disgusting. Like, I just, like, will call and call and call. And it's who does that? My mom, my sisters.
Wow.
But yeah.
So so you say that he broke it off with you, the final, this is it, we're done, and it wasn't a break. Did you see it coming at all? Like, did you know that this was it? This is, there's no coming back from this, and you seen it coming?
No, actually. We were on a break-ish thing. We had, like, an intimate time. Then he went, it was my birthday.
It was your birthday.
Okay. And then he went to, I don't know, he went somewhere for a bit, And he was like, you know, I think we need like a break from communication or something like that. Let's just be with our families during Thanksgiving. I was like, that's fine. He came back and he's like, I'm going to finally take you out for your birthday. I had a job at that time at the same time. And he also wanted to take me to a place that I shouldn't have been like that. But I was like, I don't want to go there.
Oh.
Because I do stand up there and I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to work.
For your birthday.
For my birthday.
Right.
And I probably shouldn't have said it that way, but I did.
It was your truth. It was your truth. Come on now.
But I was like, maybe I didn't say it very softly.
Oh, okay.
I was like, you know, because he was like flipping things around. Like I said, I wanted like for my birthday, I just wanted like a grilled cheese in bed and watching a movie I want to see. That's all. That's what I wanted. Anyway. So, but then he came back from Thanksgiving sick. So I was like, oh, well, no problem. You know, I came over his house. I brought him, like, a gift bag full of, like, like weed honey for his throat and, like, a soft, you know, good sweatshirt and all this, like, soup and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, the last time I saw him. And then a couple days later, we had kind of an argument because, I don't know, like, he was being weird on text.
And in what way?
Just, like... colder, and then he unfollowed me on TikTok, and I was like, that's weird, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And then he texted me that we were over and that him and his therapist had decided that we were over. Mm-hmm. And then he blocked me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's wild that he brought the therapist into this.
He brought his therapist into a lot.
Yeah. I for some reason, I'm one of those people that despise when people are like, well, my therapist. I'm just like.
Well, a lot of things that he said that the therapist said were either she's a bad therapist because you shouldn't say certain things like
that. Right. I'm like, the therapist gives you advice, but you ultimately make the decision on where you're going in your life. You pick the direction.
Right. And there's statements that he said that she said about me that just weren't. Like,
really?
They're like, a therapist wouldn't say stuff like that or shouldn't say like stuff like that.
Like what?
Like, one time I was like, listen, you know, we always go to the same place. We always, you know, your favorite place in the world is Universal Studios. We go there for every single holiday, every single like romantic moment. We go there, we go to the movies, and I just want something different. Mm-hmm. I just want to do something different. I always drive to. I would love if you would drive one of the days. I just want you to do something that's more tailored to me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be expensive. You could take me a smorgasbord and we could share a freaking like some new kind of food, or we could go to on a picnic, or we could chill at your house and you can make me like the salmon that I love that you make.
Ooh.
You know, something like that, you know? And he comes to my house. He drives my car to Universal.
Did he have a car?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he always drive your car? Is this a thing?
I drove most of the time.
But interesting.
Yeah.
Because you don't come off to me as the one that would always want to drive. Like,
I mean, I like driving, but no, it got a little grating. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he drops his car off at my house, and we go to Universal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we go to the food court at Universal to eat.
Okay.
And then we go to the movies.
After you said you don't want to be at Universal.
Or go to the movies again.
Yeah.
That's what we always do. So, of course, I was like, just so you know, like, I'm rather upset because this is not what I wanted. And he like, went on this, like, you know, we got in this huge fight, and he was like, I can't take you to Nobu. And I was like, nobody's saying Nobu. Yeah. I'm not saying Nobu.
Right.
Like, I don't even know who you think I am. I'm not that girl.
Right. It was a little extreme to use
Nobu. Right? Like, I'm not, I never have been that chick. Mm-hmm. Like, do I seem like the girl that's like, oh, if you don't take me to, like, no, I'm not that chick. Like, I split a meal with you on our first date.
Yeah. I'm saying anywhere but here is
I just
what I'm
wanted
saying.
Something different, something more tailored toward, like, something I like.
Yes.
You know, just like, that's all. Just a little bit more, you know, about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big thing. And then his therapist told him that I'm high maintenance and I have higher standards that he's not going to be able to meet because they're too high.
Wow.
And I cannot imagine any therapist saying that,
yes.
But also a therapist knowing that I just didn't want to go to the same Universal food court that we always went to. Instead, take me to the food court at the mall or something. I don't know, something different. I just want to be in a different setting for once that's more like Anastasia.
Right. Is there a part of you that feels like maybe he wasn't telling the therapist the full story?
Correct. Yes, I do.
He might not be telling you the full story of the therapist as well.
I honestly don't even sometimes know if that was if he was going to therapy.
Ooh.
And if Ooh. Any of that was communicated correctly, or you know, or he, maybe she didn't even say that, but saying your therapist said it is easier than it feels more backed.
Yes,
than
absolutely.
I feel.
What do you mean whenever you say you don't know if he might have even been going to therapy?
Well, there's times that I was like, do you want to go to couples therapy?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm open to all kinds of therapy. And I was like, well, you want to go to couples therapy? I'll go to your therapist. We can talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not open to that. And I was like, well, okay, you want to go to my therapist and we can talk it out?
Mm-hmm.
Or we can even find a different one that's not like hurt either side. And just like, he was just not open to it. He said, I have to work on my stuff by myself. And so that made me feel like very suspicious of that situation.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he also like had like this like thing with like older white women.
Oh, okay.
Not sexually. He just kind of idolized them and he would get attached to one for a long time.
Is this a black guy?
Yes.
Do you only date black guys?
I have dated white guys. I don't want to do it again.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
It's
okay. I don't want to do it again.
Love is love. You can date who you want to. So he's idolizing these white women.
Yeah.
Why is he? Did he explain why? Like, what's going on?
I mean, it would depend. He would be like, "Oh, she's so like when we first started dating, he had this mentor.
Mm-hmm.
She's an older white woman, voiceover teacher,
mm-hmm.
And she gave a lot to him, but she." I mean, it was never inappropriate.
Right.
It was just, like, weird. And then, like, when we broke up, she kept texting me, like, are you talking to him because he doesn't deserve you and he did this and he burned this bridge with me and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I hope he didn't burn that bridge with you. I hope that's not, like, I hope you still work with him. I hope that, you know, the best for him. I don't want that. I do not.
Right.
Like, this is not, like, if you think that, you know, but she, you know, every once in a while would be like, are you upset about him? And I'm like, you know, yeah, I love that man.
So you were kind of friends with her?
Yeah, I mean, we had some interactions. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a couple times that we were talking about doing projects together. Or there was a couple times where she was mentoring him. Mm-hmm. We went to lunch or dinner with her, and I would help him get those things done. Like, she would be like, he needs a resume, he needs a website, he needs a voiceover reel, he needs a this reel. And I would go, okay, we can have them, when do you need them by? And I would do them.
This is wild. What you just described your parents for you when you were two. Like, that was them getting all this stuff ready for you. He's an adult.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Is he, I mean, I don't, he might have had some handicap that I'm unaware of.
No, but I do think that I am that way with anybody.
Yeah.
Like, my friends, if they're starting out, they're like, I don't know where to go with acting.
Yes.
I help them. Why wouldn't I?
Right. But do you think that it could possibly be taken advantage of at a certain point where you're consistently helping someone and they're not using it to their full advantage, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, I think I got
lying on you in ways that they probably shouldn't be.
I think I got bitter over time because mm-hmm, he wasn't mm-hmm. usually telling people that I did it.
Oh,
he would give people credit, not me.
That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm.
He would not show me on social media. He would not tag me on social media. He wouldn't promote my stuff. I would always promote his stuff. I remember I did all this, like, he wanted a t-shirt line, so I did all the, like, vectoring for it. And then he, like, tagged the guy that, like, screen printed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was petty at this time. I said, why don't you tag the person that vectored that all, that found all the graphics, cleaned up all the graphics, and made the graphics for you?
And what was his response?
He was like, okay, noted.
But he didn't do it. Were y'all ever... together, like, on social media? Like, did he have pictures of you on his social media and vice versa? So y'all, did you have
No, that was a rule. That was a boundary for him.
So did you put him on your social media?
I would promote his stuff, yeah.
But it wasn't, like, couples pictures. Like, no one...
No, that wasn't...
Allowed.
Allowed, yeah.
And he told you that from the beginning. You can't show me, correct, and I'm not going to show you.
Correct.
How did that make you feel?
Horrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, like, going deeply into it.
Yeah.
Being half black, I'm often, like, not enough.
Ooh.
And I'm often, like, a secret, you know. So it's just
you're
sucks.
Enough. I want you to know.
Like, well, I'm just saying.
You're definitely.
Thank you.
No, I'm sincere. You are enough. You. Like, I don't want you to think that because you're half black or whatever.
Well, you
the
know
case
how
may.
It is, though. It's like you, when you're in certain, like, you're always not. There's no community for you that 100%. Right? Like, I go to my black community. I love my black community and I feel for it and I work hard for it and I love it. But there are people that don't like me there. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, right off the bat, some people won't even talk to me. Like, I've had people literally ignore my presence or roll their eyes at me every time I said something. And my grandmother on my black side would not acknowledge me for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So I know how I, you know, and that's my community. That's my community I love, you know, and the way people, oh, well, wouldn't you just want to pass? Why would I want to pass? Like, that kind of stuff. So, like, just like, it's always somebody, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's just like never like completely home.
Yeah. Well, I can't say that I relate because when I walk in a room, they like, we know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, black people always know about
me. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
There's always one of me in their family.
Right. But to be, I guess, scrutinized in a way where you feel like you're not accepted in either one of your communities, that's what I mean when I say I could relate in that aspect, which probably also is another reason why you approach relationships the way you do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I don't want to be... something that somebody's ashamed of, and even if that's not why he was doing it, that's the way it felt, mm-hmm. you know. And that was not like, if that was a boundary right up the bat that was going to make me feel that way, I should have left the situation.
That was going to be my next question. Right. Why did you accept it?
Because I loved him.
But it was a boundary that was set off the bat.
Yeah, but it was kind of too late by then. Mm-hmm. We had already been talking, and it just moved fast.
Yeah,
and. It's so funny because I will say no to, like, thousands. And then one guy fucking, it's like I'm struck.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened that many times, but it has happened. And it happened to him.
Is this all your relationships? Like you're, like, all in immediately, fast, and
no.
heavy?
Okay. No. No. And even with him, I mean, he would probably say differently.
Mm-hmm.
But... I did not assume we were exclusive. I did not assume a lot of things. I sometimes was upset about, like, the way the confusion of it. But I didn't really like push that.
Mm-hmm.
He might say differently, but that's, you know.
So y'all, he would say you were exclusive or would not say you were exclusive?
Well, I remember, like, I don't know, we were like, maybe a month or two into it, and he said something, and I was like, well, I don't know, like, I'm not saying that we're exclusive or anything. He goes, well, I've been telling people we're partners, like, that you're my partner. Okay. And I was like, oh, I just didn't want to assume, you know.
Right, because y'all never had the conversation.
Right.
I think this should be known that we need to have the conversation if that's what we're doing. Like, I can't stand when people be like, oh, you should know.
Well,
like,
I also just didn't want to have the conversation because I just didn't. I didn't want to be the pushy female. You know?
Right. Nobody wants to be the pushy female.
No.
And we kind of lean on guys for the most part. At least I know I do. And it sounds like you do as well.
Yeah.
Most women that I come across tend to lean on guys to make that move to say, this is exclusive.
Well, usually they're the ones that have the bigger problem with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I would be that way anymore, though. I would have my concerns about being exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Concerns now. In what way? What do you mean?
In in the way that I'm not rushing.
Yeah. So you would, I guess, for lack of better words, when you say you would have reservations or have your concerns about it, you wouldn't be like, yes, let's do this in 2 months.
Not necessarily, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would be cautious.
Right.
And I honestly think a lot of the things have flipped on me. Like, I don't think I do. I think I would maybe keep my relationship off of social media.
Mm. Like, so it would bother you now?
It would not bother me now. Okay. It did bother me then.
Why? What changed?
I think trying to understand him. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Like, I always want to understand the people I love, even if they're no longer in my life. I don't want
to. I mean, now, what changed from you feeling that away then to you feeling this away now?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I think understanding where he was coming from with that, that it wasn't like a personal attack and that, like, not everything is a personal attack. Sometimes we take things personally that are definitely not personal. Mm-hmm. And honestly, just reflecting on how much I want to share with people, what I want to share with people, and my career. Mm-hmm. Like, us women are on social media, and men may feel like they're like this, but us women on social media, especially when we're performers, there's like a, like, you put a guy on there, it's different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better be sure, because it could tank a lot of your fans. Yeah. It could tank a lot of your opportunities. I'm not saying that like, I'm being sketchy. Like, if somebody asked me, I would always say what my relationship status was. Mm-hmm. I would protect my relationship, but I don't know that I would blast it.
Yeah. So he broke up with you.
Mm-hmm.
He blocked you on everything.
Yeah, he kept unblocking me and blocking me and unblocking me.
How did you know when he was unblocking you?
Well, because, like, we had a lot of shared things. Like, I don't know if you, like, if you share your iCloud stuff,
mm-hmm.
like, all at once he'd pop up on my iCloud because we had, like, shared profiles. And I'm like, so you unblocked me.
And then he'd block you again. That was interesting situation that he had going there.
Yeah.
So after y'all broke up and it was, you know, you kind of realized that it was over, how did you get over it after that point? Like, how long did it take you, and are you still, like, what was
I don't know
process?
If I am over it.
yeah
mm-hmm. I'm gonna be completely honest. Mm-hmm. I am open to other possibilities, but I love that man.
You love him. And so if he was to come back today and say, I want to try to make it work, you would try?
I would discuss it. Yeah,
you'd be open to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'd run screaming, crying, and, like, be like, we're official.
Yeah.
I think it would be a conversation. I think we'd have to respect each other. I'd have to fess up to the things that I did, and I'd expect him to. And mm-hmm. I don't even know if I'd want to go into every single detail, because I think that kind of gets nitpicky and unhealthy. But I think that I would need us to be like, we both messed up in our ways,
mm-hmm.
and we both were against each other instead of against the problem, mm-hmm. together. And I'm not open to that. I'm open to us against the problem. I'm open to us being, like, able to communicate, even mm-hmm. taking time, but, like, in a respectful amount of time. That is not like if you need a space for a day, that's fine. But, like, we're not putting each other on check. Like, I can't do that. And when things that you can't do, you know, I am going to respect those too. And, like, other things that he was very uncomfortable with, I'm, like, now kind of on the same page about.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, sure.
Like, even marriage, like, I don't know that I want.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. Because you said that earlier. You said that you don't know if that's a thing. Because in the past, did you want it?
Oh, yeah.
In the past, you wanted it, and now you're at a point where you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is that? And why is that?
I think I'm starting to respect my position in the world as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to respect my goals and my achievements. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be just some man's wife.
Yeah.
And I don't really believe in super traditional things needing to happen. I do think that I'd like to make a home with somebody and be a partner with them. I don't know. I would like to discuss things together and figure out where our relationship feels right.
Right.
And if that means marriage to somebody, I'm open to talking about it, but it's not on the top of my list of things to do.
Right.
And I don't even, I mean, it's just such a weird thing too. Like most marriages are just like, it's like an expensive day and just like a lot of paperwork that just complicates things. And I don't know that I need to be on paper like that way. I like my independence. I am, but I also want a partner. And so I think that it's okay for me to discuss with my partner where that goes and how does that mean? What does that mean? And I don't think it's necessarily like I'm going to be in a church in a white veil.
Right.
And I don't know if I ever wanted that because I have been engaged before and ran or broke
up. You were
the
one who, okay.
So maybe something in me always knew I wasn't traditional in that aspect, but I do want a partner, a life partner.
Okay.
And I want us to discuss what that means.
Right.
And I don't want to come in with any preconceived notion. Yeah. I want to see what fits for us. Mm-hmm. And marriage, a lot of times, doesn't look very appealing to me.
Right. I think it's looking less and less appealing for a lot of people. Do you want children?
So I'm 41. Mm-hmm. There are times when I really wanted kids. Mm-hmm. I didn't freeze my eggs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't need it.
Yeah.
If it's in the universe for me to find a partner that wants to try, and we try, and it happens.
Right.
Without much, I don't want to mess up my body any further than I've already messed up my body over the years. If that happens, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to try with the right person.
Right.
I'm also happy to not.
Yes.
And I'm also happy years down the line if I'm in a nice partnership and we want to adopt. I'm also fine with that. Mm-hmm. I just, it's not, again, like these things that used to be on the top of my to-do list are not on the top of my to-do list anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're actually not like the end-all, be-all of things that they were. I think there's a lot of pressure as women to do that kind of stuff, and that's what defines us as women. But I have raised a lot of kids in my life.
Yes.
I continue to be very active with a lot of kids. I'm not trying to flex that. I've done it. Mm-hmm. And I continue to do it, and I'm fine. I don't need it to be my own baby.
Yes.
But it would be cute. It would be a real hell of a cute baby. But
to do with little something.
I don't know. I just don't think, like if you told me today, like, you can have one of your dreams. Like you can have a baby, you can have a loving partner, or you know
the career of your life.
Yeah, I think I would choose career.
Yeah,
I mean, ideally, I want loving partner and career.
Yes,
that's if you could pick two, if it's like a pick two at Panera, I want partner and career.
Yeah,
that doesn't necessarily mean marriage and kids.
No, it does not.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. And I could, you know, I don't need to pay the extra side for that.
Yeah. No, you don't. Well, Anastasia, our time.
Oh no.
Are you sad? You wanna dig in some more?
If you got something to dig, dig it.
No, you definitely gave everyone a very good synopsis of the situation, something to think about when they're approaching their relationships and breakups. And I want to say thank you for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're an awesome guest.
Thank you. I told you it wasn't very, I wasn't going to be super negative.
No, it wasn't negative at all.
I was like,
is not always negative. Breakups aren't always negative. You were good. I mean, listen, it is what it is. It's just.
Yeah, I just don't
a story. It's just a story, basically.
Yeah, like, I just don't want to look at my life like negativity. I want to take accountability for what I've done.
Yes.
And just focus on that.
You did just that today. You did a great job. Yeah. We're going to have to give it up to you. Give it up for Anastasia, everybody. Woo! I still got to get those sound effects. I'm a hot mess. But anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you want people to find you? Where can people find you?
Sure. I'm on Instagram at Anastasia Wash. AnastasiaWashington.com is my website, Linktree at Anastasia Wash if you want to see shows and all kinds of
good stuff coming up.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then. Well, that's where y'all can find Anastasia. Y'all know where to find Mahogany on the Breakup Vent. This is the end of our episode. Thank you so much for watching. Bye.